What's the name of our group? I don't know.
The Nobody.
What is the name of it?
The Nobody.
Nobody. If somebody asks you, what group do you attend, what do you say?
The Yanomami.
That's right, that's what we call ourselves. And they ask you, what does it teach? Nothing. It's a hard job answering an ordinary person. Because what do we teach? Nothing. You know, there are two different schools of Advaita Vedantas. And I think I'll talk about that also. One school teaches that consciousness becomes modified as the world. This has not been my experience. Yes. People ask me also, I'll get back to them. They ask me, does all this come to you when you talk? Can it take a few years to get to the place where you're at? Where does all this information come from? Through spirits? How do you acquire this? I had to think about that myself also. But really, the best I can do is say that everything happened all at once. There were no periods of time. When I was 14 years old and I got absorbed into reality, everything came then and there and that's it. Nothing has ever been added on. Isn't that interesting? There was no new knowledge to learn. So back to the question, does consciousness modify itself into the world? That has not been my experience. But there are Advaita Vedantists that believe that. That you have to have consciousness to have the world. But it's my experience that there is no world to begin with. We start from there. There never was a world or a universe. There will never be a universe or a world. There is only consciousness. That has been my experience. Consciousness does not modify itself into anything. Of course, those people who believe that the world is sort of real can say that there has to be consciousness first, and then you have the universe. And I will insist on saying that the universe is non-existent. It's like an optical illusion. It appears to be real, but there is no substance to it. It has no causation, no ego. This, of course, means that everything connected with the universe does not exist. God, planets, reincarnation, karma, people, places, and things are non-existent. And when I use the term consciousness, we cannot even understand that. For if we can't explain it, it doesn't exist. How do we know there's something? It seems to me that when we learn to sit in the silence and the mind becomes quiescent, calm, something happens. Something that is indescribable, ineffable. Something wonderful happens. We become ultimate oneness. We seem to sort of melt into something. The something has no name. So we give it a name. We call it consciousness or God or nirvana or emptiness, pure intelligence, absolute reality, infinite wisdom. We make up these names, and yet if we've never experienced that, how can we possibly know what those names mean? Isn't it better if we shut up and say nothing? Yet we can't do that. For we live in a world of talkers. People have to talk, so it seems. And some people really talk. And the more you talk, the less you have to say. What's the answer? There's no answer. There never was an answer. Therefore, stop looking for an answer. There's no solution. Stop looking for a solution. There's nowhere to go. Stop thinking you have to go someplace. There's nothing to do. Stop thinking you have to do something. You simply have to be yourself. How do you arrive at this self? Well, there is another interesting way of getting to that. And if you get up in the morning, if you feel a little depressed or out of sorts, if you do this, you'll start to laugh at yourself and you'll feel better. It'll make you out a whole day. And here's what you do. As soon as you get up, say to yourself, I am not my arms. I am not my legs. I am not my torso. I am not my head. I am not my bones. I am not my blood. I'm not my organs of reproduction. I'm not my respiration. I'm none of these things. For most of these things are functioning without my knowledge. My heart beats. I didn't tell it to beat. I have to go to the bathroom. I didn't give my body permission to go to the bathroom. The body wants to eat, it gets hungry. I never told my body to be hungry. It appears as if I have nothing to do with my body at all. You go further. You say to yourself, how about the world? I am not the world. The world didn't exist a few moments ago when I was asleep. Now that I'm awake, I think about the body, the world, God, work, food, bathroom. All these things happen when I wake up. Well, if I'm not those things, who am I? Who is the I that is experiencing all this? I don't know. Be honest with yourself. Don't say, oh, the I is consciousness. That's the worst thing you can ever do. Is to memorize certain words or phraseologies and use them at the wrong time. When you ask the question, then who is experiencing the body? Who is experiencing the world? Be honest with yourself and say, I don't know. It's a mystery. Well then, to whom is it a mystery to? To me. It therefore seems that if everything is a mystery to me, if I got rid of the me, there would be no mystery. Now how do I get rid of the me? What is the me? The me is another word for I. I believe that everything is a mystery. I have nothing to do with my body or the world. So we get back to I. Who is this I? I don't know. It's a mystery. There's the mystery again. So I'll ask again, for whom is the mystery for? For me. Who am I? I don't know. It's a mystery. For whom is the mystery for? As you keep talking to yourself this way, something wonderful is going to happen. Your question will begin to slow down. And you'll feel yourself becoming happy. You may even start laughing at yourself. And your mind will become quieter and quieter and quieter. You will begin to feel enormous joy just by doing that technique without coming to any conclusion. As you keep asking yourself, for whom is the mystery? Pretty soon you will stop saying, I, for me. or there will be a larger space between the question and the answer. When you say the mystery is for me, I think it's a mystery. There will be a large pause. And as you keep reiterating the question, the pause becomes larger and larger. Now the good news is, that pause is consciousness. That pause is your reality. Because you will find as you keep doing the process, that in that pause there are no thoughts. There's a calmness, emptiness, and you feel wonderful. I will explain the procedure again because I think it's important. You get up in the morning and you haven't been able to catch yourself between just awakening and sleeping, where there's pure consciousness. Some of you think it's hard to catch yourself. So instead of doing that, you simply look at yourself and you start saying, I am not my arms, I am not my legs, I am not my head, I am not my torso. I am not my bones or my organs or my reproduction organs or my respiration or anything else. I'm not the blood. I'm not the body. For whom is the body? I don't know. Then am I the world or the universe? When I was asleep a few moments ago, I did not experience a universe or a world or a body, but I do now when I'm awake. What about the rest of the things I experience or think about? God, planets, the sun, other dimensions. The world north manifestations. Where do they come from? Well, obviously I'm thinking of them, so they must come from my mind. Yet who thinks? To whom do these thoughts come? They come to me. I'm thinking about my body and I'm thinking about the world. It appears that everything is attached to the I. I. If somehow I can remove this I, I'll be free. How do I remove the I? I don't know. Who doesn't know? I don't know. What is it I don't know? How to remove the I? Well, where did the I come from? It's a mystery. When you ask where did the I come from, what you mean actually is, what is the source of the eye? Never, never ask that question. When you begin to attain a peace, an inner joy, bliss, when your mind becomes quiet, that is the answer. The answer has no words. So I go back to I. What is the source of I? I don't know. It's a mystery. For whom is the mystery? For me. I am experiencing this mystery. It is I who have all these questions, who is body conscious. I am conscious of praying to God. I'm thinking about my past lives. I believe it in my body. I am doing this. Then where does the I come from? I don't know. It's a mystery. Again, you notice I slow down. Then you will do the same thing. Every time you say it's a mystery, you will keep quiet for a longer span of time. Remember, you do not have to come to any conclusion. After you say it about 4 or 5 times, you should be able to sit in the silence for at least 5 minutes without any thoughts. This procedure will allow you to sit in the silence without thoughts for about 5 minutes. And that's quite an accomplishment. For in those 5 minutes, you will experience a joy and a peace and a profound happiness that you never really knew existed. You no longer have to carry on the conversation. You simply leave it alone. You get up and get dressed and do your business. Go to work, whatever you do. Yet, what you have done that morning will carry you along for the day. You will notice interesting things happening during the day. You will notice that you're happier during the day than you've been in a long time. That somehow your work is getting done without you thinking about it. People that you've quarreled with, you will feel a compassion and a loving kindness toward them. You will no longer have any enemies, if you had any before. You will feel at peace with the whole world, even with the Iraqi situation. Something within you will make you understand. You will not be able to explain it to anyone. And that's why when someone asked me before if I think there's going to be a war, I didn't answer. You will realize that the answer is not sufficient for most people. But you will know. And you will be hilariously happy. content, at peace with the world. When you come home from work or toward the evening before you go to sleep, you can do something like this. You can say, now I'm going to sleep. But who is it that's going to sleep? Why, it's the same I that awoke this morning. Now the I is going to sleep. See what you're doing. You're getting more accustomed to the I and less accustomed to the body. Now you're saying, I am going to sleep. And you're not identifying too much with your body when you say, I am going to sleep. You're referring to a separate entity now, as if there were no body. You're saying, now I am going to sleep. And your body will lie down and start snoring. Or start dreaming. And I can assure you that you will sleep more comfortably than you have in years. You will awaken being happy. If you continue this over a period of time, every time you wake up you're going to say, I slept, and I dreamt, and now I'm awake. But I have absolutely nothing to do with the situation. I am not my body. I am not the one who dreamt. And I am not the one who slept. Then who am I? It's a mystery. It's a great mystery, I don't know. Who doesn't know? I don't know. Who is this I? What is the source of the I? Again, it's a mystery. And remember the pause? Every time you keep repeating it's a mystery, the pause becomes greater and greater and greater. And in that pause there are no thoughts. You're beginning to get good at this now. There are no thoughts. There are no feelings, there are no emotions. There is emptiness, joy, bliss. This is what is called Parabrahman. And you will stay like that for a while. Then your body will get up and go about its business. But you remember all the time during the day that the body's business has nothing to do with you. You have absolutely nothing to do with what your body is experiencing. Therefore, during the day, when someone brings you bad news, I does not react. You just watch, you witness, you observe, but you no longer feel a reaction. When I say you do not react, I don't mean you're putting it on. Don't say to yourself, I'm not supposed to react, I'm not supposed to react. Or you feel all torn apart inside. That's the worst thing you can do. Yet if you've been practicing the procedure, you will really find that no matter what is brought to your attention during the day, there's no reaction, there's only a witness. And you feel good all the time. So someone can bring you information about a death. You will have compassion, loving kindness. You will feel good. If someone brings you information that you just won the lottery and you're $10 million richer, you will not react. You will witness, you will observe, and you will feel good. No matter what happens in front of you, there will no longer be a reaction. Just an observation. A witnessing. And as you continue the procedure, even the witnessing will stop. It will turn into something else. You will just know without words that all this is the self and I am that. So there, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Any questions? Nothing.
Lord, when you say that the world doesn't exist, you are talking about the materiality of the world, right?
I'm talking about any world that you can conceive.
If you consider the world to be as a thought form, that also doesn't exist.
True.
And only consciousness exists.
Yes. But what is consciousness?
Which could appear as thought.
No.
Could have had, what I mean to say is that thoughts can appear to be, but they are not. Only consciousness is.
Only consciousness exists, but the trouble we have is we use that word too loosely.
Right.
What we should do is to say to ourselves, what is consciousness? We've all read in the books that only consciousness exists, but now we want our own personal experience. So instead of voicing that only consciousness exists, we should ask ourselves the question, what is consciousness? And again, to tell yourself, it's a mystery. I don't know. You have to be honest. Do you see why it takes so many people to become self-realized? Because they memorize all these cliches, all these phraseologies. I am absolute reality, I am this, I am that. And they know the word consciousness. You'd be better off if you knew nothing of those things. But the way to handle it is to ask yourself, well, what is consciousness? What am I talking about? And of course you don't know, because nobody knows what consciousness is. So you ask yourself, or you tell yourself, it's a mystery, I don't know. But you continue, you say, who doesn't know? I don't know. You're always going back to I. Who is this I that doesn't know? It's a mystery. For whom is the mystery? For me. For mine. I don't know. Same procedure. Same space. So the space is actually consciousness. But you will feel it. You will feel something that is beyond human understanding. But you will feel something. That's called the ego.
Yeah. And so the procedure in doing that would be more or less the same as what you're talking about.
The same procedure for everything.
It seems like the more I feel the deep space that I am, the more there's going to be there's like a message that's trying to say, no, that's something to be afraid of, and you should go back to a solid world, et cetera, et cetera.
Then ask, for whom is this message? Who's receiving the message? I am? Who am I? Mystery, space. If you did it soften enough, things will happen. Definitely. But I'll bet 90% of us are not practicing. We're just waiting for something to happen. Maybe something will happen, I don't know. It's a mystery. You've got to do something with your life while you're waiting. So you might as well do the procedure.
Isn't it predetermined whether we're going to do something or not?
It's better than pulling weeds.
What they're going to do.
I don't know.
Who is determining what they're going to do?
No one. There's no determiner. There's a Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger. But there's no one to determine anything. See, don't think of those things. You should always think, where does the I come from who thinks about these things? That's the important question. And when you say to yourself, it's a mystery, there will automatically be a space. And again, you will start to feel that space as bliss, as joy, as happiness, as peace, as the self. And you will know. And you will know that you know.
Sometimes joy just comes and just walk in the street and gets just so high for no reason whatsoever. And the only way I can explain to my friends is tell them I'm not on drugs. Just this.
You must be doing something right.
I'm doing nothing. I sleep in bed and I get just it's a lot of fun. And I put on that deadly serious pedantic face and a deadly serious voice asking, what is this fun? And then the answer came to enjoyment. And put on again a serious face and ask, what's enjoyment? And it says, just being myself.
You hear that, Jay? He's in bed all day like
him. What was that?
No, Jay has trouble getting out of bed.
Oh.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with anything. All is well.
The whole, always that cliche of following your conscience. then I was, and I hear that, I feel like I'm doing something wrong, and I hear this voice coming, and I ask, well, where did that voice come from? And it's still from that I, the conscience. There really is no conscience. I mean, just, you know, just follow your conscience to do
right. It's like there's no devil.
Right.
Conscience is something we make up.
The good thoughts and the bad thoughts come from the same place.
From that place.
Yeah.
So that's the way it is.
Robert, is it all love?
You can say that, sure.
Could you say that? Yes, I'm kidding.
It depends what you mean by love. What kind of love?
What does that mean? God is love. I've never quite gotten an understanding.
Well, that's something I learned from the Bible. But nobody really has an understanding of what it means. God, love, reality, consciousness, absoluteness, they're all synonymous. But you have to ask yourself, what do these terms mean to me? Who hears these things? I do. You go right back to I. And you go through the same procedure.
Today it came up while I was practicing that phrase, it's all love, and really felt that was so. And then how far can that be taken? Like a rose, a 57 Chevrolet, and the atom bomb. It's all love.
See, you don't really feel that. Because you still have confusion about the atom bomb and the Chevrolet.
I'm embarrassed to say so. But
if it were really love.
It's all right. Is it all right?
Everything is all right.
Everything is all right. So then the atom bomb is all right.
I'm not asking you to accept that. I'm asking you to find out for yourself. Yes, it's all right.
It's all right.
But don't accept it blindly.
I don't.
Find out for yourself. Don't believe me. Why should you? Find out for yourself.
So Robert, all what's left to do is just accept your ignorance, live in mystery, and practice the self-inquiry.
Yes.
That's it. I mean.
You can say that, sure.
There is all the rest is just a waste of time.
Yes. You're right. Think of all the things we did today. That was a waste of time. We got angry, we got upset, we didn't get our way, and we got mad at someone, or we were thinking of something that made us angry, or we reacted to somebody. Think of today, just today, all the wasted time. You watch soap operas all day. Think how you wasted your time.
It's possible, while if a person, if you say a person's wasting his time, it's possible to practice the technique while we're even wasting our time, wondering who's walking down the street, who's opening the door, who's washing the lettuce.
It's very possible, but it's harder. Especially for beginners. Because you're going to think more about the letters than you're going to think about self-realization.
Well,
you'll get involved in your task.
To the contrary, it was when you first said the body will take care of itself, I thought, you know, a long way from that. But today, the body was really opening the refrigerator. and crushing the Brahma.
The body was crushing the garlic.
Uh-huh.
You mean you crush garlic with your body?
That's a very picturesque idea, Robert.
I'm just
this is like stomping on grapes. I mean, here I am throwing myself against the garlic.
Rolling the garlic.
But that's it, though, isn't it? Is that it? The body is really taking care of itself.
Always does.
And we can watch. And yes. Watching is fun.
If you can do it, that's good.
If you're watching a sunset and you just kind of sort of purge it in, but you're not even thinking about it, what would that be?
That would be getting put into the sunset without thinking about it.
Besides that, what would it be?
Same as not
getting
out of bed.
It would be an interesting state.
Oh, okay. Yes.
But it comes out of your mind.
Yeah.
What is speaking in tongues? Is there any connection with your condition with that? Whatever?
How many tongues do you have to speak?
No, I've heard people say this is. I've heard Christians say that this is a gift from God and this is a connection with God and all this.
Well, let them enjoy themselves.
Oh,
allow them to speak in tongues. Leave them alone.
I wondered if it had anything to do with this bliss.
No.
Sort of a verbal bliss.
Why, if you have bliss, would you want to speak in tongues? You would want to shut up and keep still. Not speaking in tongues. You can see a Yanni walking down the street, blah, 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 blah. Leave the world alone. Let people do what they have to do. There are all kinds of people in the world doing all kinds of things. Let them be. Just love them and let them alone. And you do what you have to do.
Well, I don't know, I'm still sort of up for roller coaster rides and things like that, and if it were sort of a verbal roller coaster ride, I'd be interested in finding out what it was like.
Well, whatever you feel you have to do, you have to do. See, this isn't the type of satsang where I give you rules and regulations and I say, you can do this, but you cannot do this. You can do that, but you're not supposed to do that. You do what you feel you have to do until the time comes where you no longer need to do it. If you practice this procedure, you will slow down. In other words, the more you practice, the more blissful you become. The world cannot give you that bliss. So why would you want to get involved in the world? You become bliss yourself.
Well, a lot of things are hangovers from when we were kids, and we feel that exhilaration. And if we don't really understand true peace,
well, of course, while you're human, you will experience all those things. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm speaking as you follow this kind of procedure, and as you begin to unfold higher and higher, you will let go of the world more and more. Because you will realize that the world cannot give you real happiness, no matter what you acquire. It's all temporary.
Oh, acquisitions are burdens.
So if I wanted to give you $1 million, you wouldn't take it? Because it's a burden?
Well, I was thinking of things.
That's a thing.
I know that's a hypothetical question.
Things are great, so I'll go along
with
that.
Things are great.
I enjoy things.
Yes, but I enjoyed things a lot when I was younger, and I have a lot of things, and now I go through them and realize that it takes a lot of time away from what I really want to do, sort of sorting them out, dusting them.
So you're acquiring the feeling, and that's the way to do it. I'm not saying to give up a thing. Enjoy what you're enjoying. But like you just said, as you grow spiritually, those things cease to amuse you. They no longer give you enjoyment. But don't put it on. Do not say, I have to put on a blank face and not enjoy life. Enjoy what you're enjoying. Do what you're doing until the time comes that you no longer have to do it.
Robert?
Mm.
You know, I have this feeling, if I can put it in the right terms, like moving across this bridge toward this state because I have not experienced it, I have a terrible feeling that when I reach the end, I'm going to reach this void, an empty void that's almost like dust. There's nothing there, and I'm afraid that at this moment, looking at it the way you're describing it, it doesn't seem like a wonderful place to end up because I haven't experienced it. Whereas all of the things in this the world as I have experienced it, I know what they're like, and I can touch them and discard them and go through them. You know, I can discard.
Yeah, things happen to you that you don't like. You go through all kinds of experiences. There must be something else that is permanent. And there
I
is.
I understand that theory, I really do.
Then all you gotta do is practice the procedure and wait what happens and watch. Or come to satsang like you do and watch what happens as the weeks pass. See what happens to you. Things will happen automatically.
I guess I'm wanting the reassurance that you understand where a person like me is, which I think a lot of people experience, so that common ground that we see a material world with things and the other is there, but it's sort of like a mystery, I'm using the word mystery, really arriving at it and being sure that there is that solid ground, and we can't call it solid ground, but there is that. You know.
And you can't even be sure.
No. Because I just want to be sure that you understand that there are a lot of entities out here who don't have sure footing about what to expect when you push through this.
See, this is why to most people who get into things like this, the rug sometimes has to be pulled from under them. They have to have a sort of a negative experience in life. And then they get up and ask themselves, what is life really all about? And they get involved in teachings like this. But most people are having a relatively happy life in the world, which of course is due to karma, think that they're going to continue this happiness. But I can assure you, it will not continue. It has to stop somewhere. And you have to start experiencing the opposite. As for every up, there's a down. For every forward, there's a backward. For every amount of pressure pushed forward, the same amount of pressure is pushed backward. As in the flight of jet planes. That's all duality. And everybody experiences duality now and again. the world is impermanent. And if you stick to the world, you'll always be disappointed. And let's say you even have joyous times all of your life because of karma. The time will come when you're old, 90, 95 years old, and you become invalid and senile and crippled, like President Reagan. Then what are you going to do? You'll become disillusioned. You'll say, I was so happy all of my life. Now I can't get out of my bed. People have to bathe me and feed me and take care of me. What happened? You will be completely disillusioned. So if why not search for it now and become free? Why not make this your main objective, to become free and liberated? Ask yourself, why not?
What if things get so slow, uninterested in the outside world, and even loses their enthusiasm to do spiritual practice?
Well, that can be apathy. Mm-hmm. It can be apathy because...
What if it's coming from a state that meditation becomes no different than everything else one's doing?
You're apparently on the wrong track then. Maybe you have too many practices. So what you should ask yourself, to whom do these feelings come? Why do I have these feelings? Where do they come from?
Feelings of...
Inquire within yourself. The feelings of apathy.
I don't know if it's apathy, I'm wondering.
Well, whatever it is. You don't have to know what they are, just ask yourself. To whom do they come and why? And something will happen.
I think what I'm also asking is, do you give practical advice to someone? And if so, related to discipline, is discipline something important?
Do I give practical advice?
Yeah.
No, I'm very impractical.
Mm-hmm.
I can't give practical advice.
You once gave me very practical advice one time.
It appears to be practical. The practical advice is always, in the end, to find out who you are. That's the most practical advice I can give. And sometimes I will talk to you besides that and tell you what you call practical. But I will always end up by telling you, find out your true nature.
Mm-hmm.
Discover yourself.
In other words, if I'm blowing my nose too hard and as a result blood continually pours out of my nose, and someone gives practical advice and says that out of an observation that you're blowing your nose too hard,
oh, I remember that.
That's
yeah.
why blood's coming out of your nose. Yeah. And it do that. So in the same way, practical advice of someone who maybe is having some changes or whatever and decides to dissolve whatever discipline they had or whatnot, whether practically speaking, discipline in one's life is important.
For some people, if you think it's important, continue with it.
No, I mean just disciplines one's life.
In a way, you're right. See, it's very paradoxical. You're right in a way. But for some people, it's not important. Everybody's different. But it all goes back to self-inquiry. If you ask yourself, who needs discipline and why, you will realize that your real self never really needed any discipline. Because you're already awake.
And then what? Then what? Experience of this enthusiasm for life by any chance?
The experience of this may be enthusiasm for life,
totally,
but you're going back to your body.
Yeah.
If your body has to have enthusiasm for life, it will. And will do whatever it has to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll always be aware that you're not that. It has nothing to do with
you. Well, it brings it right to that point. Is one is experiencing equanimity to the extent that nothing appears to be any more important than anything else.
You will experience that as the I, as consciousness.
Okay.
But your body will still go and do its work.
And unless the body has nothing to do, then it won't do anything.
Yes.
And if that continues to happen, then in a material way, I guess then changes occur. As changes occur and one needs to make some money perhaps or something, then one is forced into a situation where one has to respond in a different way.
Again, no, there's no different way. If you inquire for whom do these things happen, the right thing will take place. Right action will take place in your life.
But one should not wait for it.
Well, it depends what you're supposed to do. You've got nothing to do with it.
Okay.
You're absolutely.
I wonder if there's a pitfall with that process of sitting back and waiting for something. To occur outside of.
You're not supposed to do that. No, who tells you to do that?
Well,
you're doing, inquire, who is the doer?
Mm-hmm.
And see if you sit back and wait. And if you're supposed to sit back and wait, you will not even have any question because you'll be so in bliss and so happy and so joyous
mm-hmm.
that you couldn't care what your body does.
I'll tell you
other things. Your body will take care of itself.
We're not concerned for it. Yes.
But you have nothing to do with it.
No.
See, don't even think about without concern. Your mind is telling you all these things. Your mind is adding on to whatever I say. There's no such thing as without concern. The I will take care of you. The I is your life. It is your substance. It is God. It is consciousness. It is I am. It will always take care of you. Have no fear. You've got to trust it. Surrender yourself to I. And then I take care of everything. It's like carrying your luggage in the train. Would you carry your luggage on your head and have a heavy burden? When you complete in the compartment and let the train take you to its destiny while the luggage is in the compartment. So what you're doing now, Jay, you're carrying the luggage on your head.
In the train.
In the train. The train is God. So give God your luggage, give God your burdens.
I don't have any burdens right now.
And you'll get more
the only burden we get.
But you're focused on the I, on the source. Always on the source. And not to think too much. The source will take care of you. The God. The source will always take care of you if you think of it. You've got to think of God and God will think of you, so to speak.
What about hope in the context of the,
hope?
Yeah, in the context of the practice of self inquiry.
Hope?
Yes.
Hope for what?
Where there's hope, there's faith.
In
a sutta form, most of the people who have been practicing self inquiring is thinking in something beyond. Or in the beyond, or you yourself, when you explain about what it may happen something wonderful. That's breeding hope.
You know, I was explaining what may happen.
Yes.
I didn't say to hope it happened.
No, when people listen to that, they may understand that.
Oh, I see what you mean.
That there is something to hope for.
Oh, I understand.
That's my question.
Yes. Well, if you've got to think of something, think about good things. Think about if something wonderful is going to happen to you sooner or later. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. It's better than thinking something bad is going to happen. So think while you're practicing that one day I'll be free. One day I'll be realized, like right now. And hold on to that.
Robert? Also, I was thinking how important keeping good company, if you want to call it good company. Some of the people I associate with are so... I mean, I have one friend who is in the entertainment field, and he has his own show, and he's every time I'm around him, I come away... He presents a whole reality that is so... something I'm trying to fight against. Shouldn't be fighting it, it's sort of like it brings me down, and then it just seems so important to stick with people who have the same set of values that are heading toward wanting to find realization.
So why are you around this person?
Because, for one thing, he's one of the most amusing and enjoyable people from a humor point of view that I've found, which is just a little earthly pleasure.
The
man
is dead.
Earthly pleasure of some sort.
As long as you believe you're having entertainment and fun with this person, continue.
And just take it for that.
And work on the process.
Yeah,
and it'll all work out. That's what I meant before when I said, do not just give things up. Continue where you're at. And work on yourself. Mm-hmm. And then what you have to drop will drop by itself.
Doesn't the karma make it really impossible to give something up you can't, that you're still practically going to do?
Yes. Everything will always work itself out. You've got nothing to do with it.
Just play your part.
No, you don't even play your part. The part will play you. When you say play my part, it's like I've got a part to play.
No, I call you.
Yeah.
I just read something the other day, and it sort of frees me, and at the same time, it kind of scares me. And what it was that that I had nothing to do with being born, and I had nothing to do with dying. And what makes me think I have anything to do with what's going on in
the scene? That's good.
It's just great freedom, but at the same time, it's like giving up, me doing anything at all.
Well, if you're doing it physically, it's wrong. But if it just comes to you and you feel great about it, then it's right.
Well, what I feel trapped in on earthly, in my mind is all this criticism and comparing and judging and nobody's doing it right.
So then inquire within yourself. Ask yourself the questions. To whom does this come? Who feels this?
It seems like it's such a compelling.
But ask yourself, why do I do this? Who needs to do this? To whom does it come? You'll be surprised what happens. Of what I'm talking about now. I have to go to the bathroom. I don't ask myself who has to go to the bathroom. I don't deny myself, I just do it spontaneously. I don't even think about it. Because that's the body taking care of itself. I've got nothing to do with it. The appearance of the body does those things, of course. From all appearances, I'm just an average guy. But I know I've got nothing to do with that.
It's like the mind that it says if we just stop controlling and all that, then something will go wrong. And that's the only thing to do is really just eliminate all that and everything will be okay.
That's what I meant. We've got to trust God. We've got to surrender all this to God, who is none other than the self.
Is that the process of surrendering? Is what you were saying before that process?
that process of surrendering to, yes. Because you stop thinking, you say it's a mystery, you give it all up. You surrender. You're quiet and still. When your mind becomes quiet and still, then you've surrendered to God.
So saying it's a mystery is the same thing as saying I don't know.
Yes.
And there you open yourself then.
Yes.
Barbara,
I asked you once before, but does anyone ever understand the mystery? Even no matter what state you reach, or did you say that when you
reach a certain state, it doesn't matter, that just disappears?
The mystery disappears, everything disappears.
So that's the answer to the mystery,
right? There is no answer. Because everything is emptiness, consciousness. Everything is pure delight.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how is it
over? Disappearing is pure delight.
Well, to whom does the fear come? To whom does the fear come? Ask yourself. Who has that fear? And it'll disappear. Always ask yourself. Because your real self, there's no such word as fear. Fear is for the body and the ego. So far. Tomorrow's another day. But I always tell you not to put yourself down. Do not think you're a dinosaur, there's something wrong with you, you can't get far. Just take it as it comes. And keep up the procedure. It's like becoming a surgeon. You work on dead bodies till you get it right.
The unknown, and just having to have faith that it's all going to be okay.
You want me to give you a certificate?
Yeah, I'm hearing this, and that's helpful, at least to me. It's just, you have to keep believing that it's all going to be.
Find out for yourself, don't believe me. What if I were just a trickster? And none of these things are real. I just made it all up.
Oh,
find it for yourself.
I had once a question to myself. I wanted to know what was the greatest fear. And I came to the conclusion that that's the only way that the greatest fear was simply totally ceasing to be.
Mm.
Is there a greater fear than that?
Nope.
I was once driving to Santa Monica, and for the time I was driving in the car, I didn't care if it totally ceased to be. It didn't bother me at all at that moment.
Oops. The last 3-4 years of his life, he was in terrible pain. He had rheumatism and cancer. So if you saw him then, and you did not understand his teaching, you would say, who wants to follow? If you saw him when he was sick,
mm-hmm.
and you did not understand his teaching, you would say to yourself, who wants to follow somebody like that, who's wasting away? Why should I believe at all? Because you want somebody to be robust and strong and happy and healthy. That's an appearance. The appearances change. That's a hard one to explain. When you see someone in pain, you should immediately help. Until you get to the stage when you understand, and then it will help even more. Here's a good example. Today I was taking a walk to the bank, and a dog got hit by a car. And the dog was lying there in the middle of the road. The dog was not dead, but was in pain, was howling. Some people gathered, and I walked over, and I observed, and I watched. And I felt for the dog. I had a great love, a great compassion for the dog. But just like a miracle, a car pulled over, and there was a vet. And he felt the dog, and said the dog had a broken rib. And bandaged the dog off and took him to the hospital. What's the point of this story? I forgot. But the dog is consciousness. And all is well.
So if the vet hadn't come along, he wouldn't have taken the dog to the hospital?
There were other people there to take care of them. If I had the opportunity, I would. That's not my business. I don't think that way. Just there to help the best I can.
Would she have any connection with the karmas of others?
Could be, possibly. I don't think he was ill. He never died.
Well, that's a different level, but the explanation of the cancer, perhaps.
That's possible. But I don't see it like that. Three things. There's no cancer. There's no death, and there's no suffering.
And there's no Ramana Maharshi.
There's not as a person.
And so everyone has room. I helped just as much as you did in helping that dog.
You can say that, sure. Because there's only one. In those duality, somebody has to be healed. There's nobody there to be healed.
Oh.
No one exists to be healed. And he never was anywhere. He was the same with the body.
Well, maybe no one existed to get ill, but he did.
For whom? To you.
And not even to you, to someone who told you he was.
Mm. All is well.
Does it boil down to how real do we want this waking state to be?
Well, you can't really say that because there's nothing to do with it. Your body and your mind will take care of that for you. Therefore, the only salvation is to get rid of the body and the mind.
Which you never had in the first place.
That's right.
You don't know your freedom in the same waking state that I experience, in a sense. It's not here where I am looking for it.
Say it again.
Well, it's like you don't know the freedom you know in the same waking state that I think I'm in.
I don't know the freedom.
Yeah, I mean, where the freedom is not in the waking state that I think I'm in.
I don't see you as any waking state at all. I don't see you as awake or unawake or sleeping. I just see you as I see me. As one consciousness. One unit. There's no difference.
is all my perception. There's nobody doing anything to me. There's nobody here.
That's right.
Whatever's going on is my own little creation.
Exactly.
Nothing happened.
That's true. Right. Everything is an emanation of your own mind.
No, that's striking.
No, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful, but at the same time,
who's scared? Ask yourself who's frightened.
To participate with us, you know, you have to acknowledge little, this little body sitting around in this room here that you seem to, you know, acknowledge and answer questions to. That there's some sort of agreed upon reality for them.
I do. I do not have to acknowledge anything. I just acknowledge that you are reality. That you are ultimate oneness. Pure oneness. I'll acknowledge that. Everything else is your business.
Hallelujah.
Let's become still for a few moments, please. A telephone answering machine. I want to thank you for about 2 weeks ago. I'm getting a large amount of phone calls. So I told myself, self, you need a telephone answering machine. Today the UPS comes and delivers one for me. And I'll find out some cheap place down in Chicago. I call them up and I tell them I didn't order one. So they say it's all paid for. So now I just have to connect it.